There's a truly beautiful presence in the worship, wasn't it? And you know what that means? That God loves you and he receives our praise and our worship. Amen? And that means he has something for us today. He has something for me. You guys just happen to be here today. Amen? Good to see you. Hope everybody's doing well, right? Amen. Everybody doing good? If you're doing good, just let Jesus know you love him. Amen. Okay. Just making sure you're here. Amen. God is so good. Good to see you guys again. Amen. I was really tossed about which word to bring today, but God, early this morning, gave me a word today. It's just good to be here again. Good to see you guys. It's getting colder out. Anybody cold walking through the fields? No, come on. Toughen up. Come on. It's going to get a lot colder. It's going to be great, guys. My daughter, Heather, Heather Joe, who graduated, what year did you graduate here, Head? Oh, I'm sorry, Heather, I'm not supposed to say Heather Joe. Okay, what? In 04. My daughter, Heather, who is now, she married Jared, who was in school with her here, and she's just accompanying me today. She's with child. She is due February, praise God. Amen. So be a grandfather again. I know. Don't say no grandfather jokes, please, okay? Heather, you want to share a word? Come up for a second, Heather. Just come up for a second. She wants to just share something with you, as she used to do all the time.
It's always good to be back at Mount Zion. I think it's been a year since I've been here, and every time I come, it's kind of like a home sweet home feeling. Just worshiping with you guys is such a privilege and honor, and I say it every time I come here. Knowing that Mount Zion exists is such a consolation to me, because out there, we're in full-time ministry, my husband and I, and sometimes you look and you really see that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are so few, and sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and just feel like, God, there's so much to do, but so little people to do it. But he always reminds me that there's a bunch of young people that are being raised up at Mount Zion to go out into those fields and to just be the laborers that God's called you to be. It doesn't have to be full-time ministry in whatever, just to be those lights. And lately, these past few weeks, I've just been hearing so many more stories about different people falling away from the Lord, or just people that you knew and grew up with that, maybe were just good people, but have gotten really just worse, downward spiral. I love that your year is a year of decision, that they've made these little choices to veer off to the left and not stay on that straight and narrow path. And you just see just utter devastation in their lives from just little decisions and little choices that have really transformed their lives and brought them so far from God. And it's such a consolation to me to know that God's using you guys and is going to use you guys to be such lights in the world, to be such a standard, you know. It's such a blessing just to know. And I just want to share real briefly, God's used Mount Zion in my life unimaginably. I can't imagine if I did not go to Mount Zion. There were times I came right from high school to Mount Zion, and some people told me, you know, you should go, you should get a degree, you should go to college. So eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I picked something that I could, early elementary education, let me just see what I could do with this. And we visited some colleges, and nothing hit me. I was just picking something for the sake of getting a degree. And we came and visit Mount Zion. As soon as I drove on the campus, I knew that this was the place that I needed to be. A lot of you had that similar experience, just such a peace in your heart. You knew that this was where God wanted you. And had I not gone to Mount Zion, I would have never, ever met the friends that I have till this day. There's a handful of friends that are my prayer warriors, are the people that I can call upon that are there. They're in other parts of the country, but I know that they're there for me. Would have never met my husband, would have never had this baby with him. It's you just see God's divine providence in your life just by those little simple decisions of saying yes to the Lord. Not these huge things, but these little things. And as I was walking here on the campus, I was realizing, you guys might not think this at this moment, but I was realizing how easy life at Mount Zion is. I know that sounds not true when you're going through issues and not enjoying the rules and everything else. But as I was walking, I'm like, wow. Life was so good at Mount Zion. You go through circumstances, and I know a lot of you are going through rough times, going through hardships and stuff, but I just want to remind you that this time at Mount Zion is preparation, that it's God's preparing, God's doing things in your heart, and I want to bring you to a scripture verse. If you got your Bibles, you can turn. Jeremiah. I forgot where I was. If you got your Bibles, you're right. You have your Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 12. You'd be surprised how many people go to church and don't bring their Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? I really believe that this time at Mount Zion is a time of peace for you guys. Yeah, there's issues. Yeah, there's things in your heart that God's rooting out. But I believe, I know in my life, it was a time of peace. It was a time that God was establishing a foundation in my life. And if we can't say yes to God in the simplest of things here at Mount Zion, I don't know how we're going to be able to say yes outside of Mount Zion when the world is watching, when if you're in ministry or something, when people's souls are at stake, people's lives really feels like sometimes are on your shoulders. This time at Mount Zion, I believe, is a time of peace, is a time for you to just enjoy His presence like never before. You're going to be able to enjoy His presence outside of Zion. Of course, that's our lives. But there's something special about these 3 years that you've just dedicated solely and wholly to the Lord. And I want you guys to enjoy and soak every second you possibly can up. Outside of Mount Zion, great, you're going to have the Lord. He's going to walk with you, give you the strength for every issue that you face. But enjoy this time. Don't take anything for granted. Enjoy your friends, enjoy your brothers, enjoy your sisters. Most of all, just enjoy your Jesus. Enjoy every time, every second you can get to just be alone with Him. And don't let it become a duty or a hassle or anything. There's going to be times where, you know, you are going to have to push through. It is going to be not enjoyable. If I were truthful with you guys, there are times where it is hard to pick up the Bible and to have devotions. I'd rather read Better Homes magazine sometimes, to be total truthful. But God gives you the grace and the strength to push through, to open this word, and He makes it so enjoyable just to love on Him. And so I'll give it over to my Father now.
Thank you, Heaven. Thanks, Ed. No, good words. Thanks, Ed. Good words. You took up all my time, but no, that's okay. No, it's okay. I don't mind at all. Let's pray and receive our word today. Father, thank you. Oh, Father, thank you, God, that we can have our eyes on you today, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you, God, that we hear words, God, that always point us to you, Lord God. So, Father, thank you today, God. Thank you that we could be here, God. Father, thank you for such presence in the praise and in worship today, Father. Thank you, brothers. Brother Tim prayed, God, from beginning to end, you are here, God. And, Father, thank you for being here. So, Lord, now, even as I speak these words coming up, Father, I know that your words are life, Lord Jesus. Your words are life. So fill us with that life right now, God. Whatever I may speak about, whatever area that you want us to go in today, Holy Spirit, let those words be life. Let them change us, grow us, encourage us, establish us in faith, God. Let these words that we speak, God, not just be words that sound good or maybe be poetic, God, but let them grab a hold. Let them apprehend our heart today, God. And let these words never leave our heart, never leave our understanding. Holy Spirit, we need you right now. Open up our minds. Let us see you today. Let us understand this word today. And Holy Spirit, more than anything, let us apply this word to our hearts, my heart, God, all those who are here today, Lord Jesus. And Father, let us truly walk out different. We always pray that, God, and we never want to be cliche with that, God, but it's so true. Let us be different today. Let there be something in this word today, God, in your presence today, something you want to say to us, something you want us to know, something you want us to walk out with and keep in our heart for the rest of our lives, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you to do that. So we give you free reign, Holy Spirit. Have your way. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that anything we need is in you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you that there be fruit today. Great fruit today because we have been with the King and we have sat at your feet today, Jesus. Father, thank you as we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I want to speak about today. I know that at Light of the World Church and also behind this pulpit here at Mount Zion, whoever gets behind this word, whether it's Pastor Tim or a guest speaker, obviously Pastor Dave when he comes and others, that there's a rich word that comes from this pulpit, that you are truly blessed. The words that come from this pulpit, no matter who the guest speaker is ordained of God. and set in place by God to always give a word in season to you. Whatever that word may be. Maybe a hard word, maybe a funny, joyful word at times. Whatever it may be. It's always a word that God has for you. That's why it's always important to hold on to these words and to sometimes take notes or listen if it's taped or on CD, whatever it is. And I think that as we speak God's word and that rich word, we have to let some things go deep into our hearts. And I want to speak about one thing today that is very dear to my heart because I see it throughout the ministry of God. And it's a question that God continues to work with me on that I want to share with you. I ask a question sometimes. I was talking to this family a while ago, and I was just talking about things I saw in their life. And I was just trying to bring correction. There were some things that were dramatically and obviously off. And I was just trying to, as a pastor, even with my eldership, trying to bring correction in the situation. And it was like talking to an oil painting. They weren't receiving it. There was nothing there. There was nothing coming from that. And they were, as a matter of fact, quite on the aggression. Well, pastor, you're the one with the problem. You're this and you're that and you're that, blah, 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 blah. I says, well, okay, end of conversation. Obviously, you're not open, so we're going to close this down right now. And I stood back after they left and says, Lord God, whatever happened to being convicted of the Holy Ghost? Whatever happened, Lord God, to that when we're wrong or when we're in sin or when we're missing something, whatever happened, God, to when you send correction, God, we simply say, yes, Lord. We simply say, okay, Lord, that we don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to fight back. We don't have to establish ourselves that we know truth. We don't have to. How about saying when God wants to send correction to us, and who knows, we all need correction at times. Amen? Now say amen because it's true. Say it again. Amen. That's true. Some people didn't say amen. That scares me. You always got to say amen to those things, all right? And sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we sin. We're not perfected yet, amen? We're not in glory yet, so we're in these bodies. So sometimes we sin. Sometimes we need correction. And thank God, even as Heather was saying, that you're in a place right now where it may be an easy way in some areas, and it may be a hard way in some areas, that, Lord, if I need correction, bring it, God. Use Brother Tim, God, Sister Catherine, those in charge of me, those who have authority over me, who watch for my souls, God, as well as my academic learning, God. That whatever happened to conviction of the Holy Ghost, that when we do blow, when we are maybe going off a little bit, or maybe when we don't see something in our own mind or whatever, whatever happened, when God sends somebody to correct us and to change our course, hopefully, whatever happened to, yes, Lord, of course, Lord. God, if you see something in me, send anybody. Whatever you have to do, God, send a fellow student, a teacher, an administrator, a pastor, whatever it is, God. Send whatever you have to do, God. And sometimes, you know what I say? I see some, not a lot, but I see so many people in the body of Christ generally losing that spirit of conviction that I'm okay. You know, that you're the one wrong. And they're so close to when God wants to change something. If they're getting off that narrow way and kind of approaching that broad way that leads to destruction, I want somebody to come to me and say, Angelo, you're going off. I tell my elders that. I tell them all the time. If you see me going off, if you see me doing something, you tell me. All right? There's no, and I don't want just a bunch of yes men, and I don't want just people just going to, you know, just tell me it's glorious when it's not. I want you to tell me sometimes. I laugh sometimes when I think about my wife, as you know, who passed away last year. We had a great relationship with that. We always pull each other up on things. And sometimes I'll be driving down the road and someone will cut me off. I'll be a little heated and I'll say, oh man, that guy cut me off, whatever. And she'll be sitting there and looking at, give me this look. And she'll be going, no fruit, no fruit, no fruit, no fruit. So I don't want to hear that, Joe. And then no fruit, no fruit. And she would say that. But it was true. I had to show fruit even when someone cut me off. And that was kind of like a mild rebuke, and I would do the same thing to her too. I'd go to her, she'd be angry with somebody, and I'd look in her eyes and go, Joe, no fruit. And sometimes, you know what, you need somebody who's going to kind of keep you on track. And sometimes you want God to send somebody that if I'm going off in an area, God, or if I'm missing it, or if I'm blind to something, God, show me the right way. But have we stopped allowing ourselves to be corrected? Have we stopped allowing ourselves to be convicted? Have we stopped allowing God to really apprehend our heart that if we're going off an area, God, I want to know. See, don't have a pride heart that says, I hear from God, and I'm going on with God. Stop that. Stop. Sometimes you all need somebody to come along and say, hey, you're going off in an area, or you need to be corrected in this particular area. And I believe as believers who are filled by the Holy Spirit, we should have that heart. That says, God, man, if I'm going off, send somebody. Whatever you got to do, God, send somebody. Do something, God. But change my heart. See, we watch for a lot of things. I know a lot of people call themselves watchmen. They watch the church. They watch for evil. They watch this and they watch that. they watch for the times and how they're changing. They watch for the end times coming, the encroachment of evil in our society. And I want people to watch for something else. I want people to watch our own hearts for the encroachment of sin that tries to come in our own hearts. Sometimes we're so watching everybody else. Sometimes we're so watching all these things. We see the sky changing red, and we know the times are coming. We see this, we see that. I want the people to get down to a basic thing. What about watching when sin tries to encapsulate your heart? What about watching that when we go off a little bit, and maybe something we believe or some kind of act that we're doing? Turn to Psalm 141. Psalm 141, as David wrote in Psalm 141. What about watching for the encroachment of sin upon our own heart and keeping abreast of that, keeping an eye on that? Psalm 141. Sometimes we get so used to watching others, we don't even see what's going on in our own life. We're so used to picking out that speck in others. And Psalm 141, right in verse 3, where the Word of God says, as David wrote this, and David had such a heart for God, and this is one of the reasons why he had such a heart for God. He said in verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. In verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works when men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. But I love that. Lord, set a watch over my mouth. Lord, help me with what I say, God. Let me be aware of some things I say, whether in anger, whether when I'm upset, whether sometimes I'm frustrated, God, or whether I don't receive a rebuke or a correction, God. And look at that heart. God, set a watch over me. Watch what comes out of my mouth, God. And let me be aware of it, God. See, no longer can we have the excuse, well, it's just me, it's just my path. No! That's who you were. If you want to stay who you were, that's fine. You can decide to do that. But if you want to go on in the things of God, then we say to God, God, change what I say. Change what I think. Change what I do, God. I don't want to think evil of people. I don't want to think this, God. And God, please make sure, let me know what comes out of my mouth. If it's not going to glorify you or bring correction or praise God or worship you, then God, then shut it down, God. See, that's what I want us to watch for. Watch what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes when we're upset or angry or not receiving a correction, what comes out of our mouth sometimes? In Matthew 26, verse 41, what did Jesus say? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, you have to watch for that encroachment of sin, but you got to watch for something else. Is there any part of me that's being desensitized to my own sin? Is there any part of me that's being desensitized? I'm getting used to maybe some areas of sin in my life, or maybe some areas that, God, you really want to change, but they're becoming so hard in my life, God, so hard in my heart. Am I becoming desensitized? Am I getting used to things I should never get used to, God? Am I accepting things in my own life that I should never accept, God? See, sometimes we get used to sin. Sometimes we get used to those old past behaviors that don't glorify God. We may not like things. We may be aware of things. But you know what? We get used to things. Man, I had a lady in our congregation who was an older Italian woman, and she was really set in her ways, being an older Italian woman, and I would speak to her about the things of God, and she would always come up and say, well, I never learned that. That's who I am. That's inbred in me. I said, that's who you were. I said, I don't want to blame sin on cultural things or any other thing. That's who you were. But God is doing a new work. God is doing a new thing. These are days of grace where God is so changing us. But my people, you have to watch. Is there an area of my life where I'm getting a hard heart? Is there an area of my life where I'm really not open to people talking to me about? Is there an area of life where it's taboo, where I avoid it at all cost, or I minimize it? You know, it's really not a problem. It's just maybe a little habit that God will someday give me the victory on. See, watch out when we don't minimize things like that or rationalize things like that. You know, we rationalize sin. We rationalize some things that are not of God. Well, you know, I just need to express myself that way. No, you don't. You got the Holy Ghost in you. You can express yourself in Holy Ghost ways, praise God. Turn to Joel chapter 2. Oh, that wonderful word of Joel chapter 2. He speaks about this. And in Joel chapter 2, right in verse 12. In Joel chapter 2, right in verse 12. And I pray this is word that we may not have a wonderful, enjoyable time speaking about it, but I believe it's something that we all need to hear and all need to remember. In Joel chapter 2, right in verse 12, the Word of God says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Verse 13, and rend your heart, in other words, tear, rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. But look at these words of Joel, turn to me with all your heart, Sometimes we stop mourning for our sin. Sometimes we stop weeping for our sin. We've gotten so normal with it. We've gotten so Americanized with it, so culturalized with it, that when's the last time we really wept and said, oh God, my sin has so hurt you, God. And I'm broken over it, Lord Jesus. Just as we read today, as Tim read in that letter about Pastor's letter, being broken over our sin, mourning for it, weeping over it, fasting to God for strength that you hear us, that we don't do it again, God. And he says in 13, he says, rend your heart, not your garments. What they used to do, when they used to have a repentant heart way back then in those olden Bible days, they used to just kind of tear their coat and tear the cloak that they had on as a sign of mourning or repentance. They had to tear that. And what God is saying to the people today is, don't tear your garments. Tear your heart. Don't give me this outward stuff. Okay, sometimes it's so easy to do the outward stuff. It's so easy to tear our garments in these days, which is oh God, I'm sorry, this and that, or whatever. We get very demonstrative with it. And God said, don't play games with me. Don't just come to me and repent and tear your garments, let people see that you're the holiest person going because you're so free with dealing with your sin. God says, don't give me that outside stuff. It's easy to fool people. It's easy to fool one another. It's easy to fool yourself. God says, I don't want your clothes being torn. In other words, those outward displays, I want your heart. Break your heart. Tear your heart over sin, over things we need correction for, over those things that God wants to change us. Give me that heart. And I love that, where God says, don't play games with me. Sometimes we get so used to playing games. Sometimes we get so used to that Christian behavior. God says, no, be real. Be real with me. God says, I know you for who you really are. I know you behind that hair and behind the clothes you wear and behind all those other things. God says, I know that heart. That's what I want when you sin. He says, tear your heart. Give me a broken heart over sin, over those things that we need to mourn over and repent over and fast over. And he says, stop playing games with me. He said, cut it out. And to use the Pierre translation, cut out the garbage. Cut out the nonsense. Give me your heart. Can you give me your heart? Can you give me that torn heart, that broken heart over sin? And allow correction to come. God says, can I correct you? Can I send somebody? Can I send a situation to somebody? Quickly, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Go to the right of Joel, just a few pages. In Habakkuk chapter 2, I love when Habakkuk wrote about this. Habakkuk, however you want to say it. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, right in verse 1, and I want you to really know and keep the scripture with you at all times. In Habakkuk chapter 2, right in verse 1, look what he says. He says, I will stand upon my watch. Now, what's he going to watch? And set me upon the tower of what? And look, it says, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. And what shall I answer when I am reproved? Oh, my people, I love that. He says, I'm going to set a watch. I'm going to sit upon a tower to hear what he's got to say to me. And look at his thought. When I'm reproved, when I'm corrected, what am I going to say? How am I going to take it? When the Lord speaks to me about something, when the Lord sends somebody to me, a pastor, a teacher, someone who has authority over you, a fellow student, a stranger, when someone comes to me and corrects me, what's my response? What am I going to say? Oh, no, thank you. I'm doing good. I'll pray about it and I'll see you later. How do we respond? When we're corrected, and God will always send correction when we go off. There's no doubt about it, because he loves you. That's why. Never to bust you, never to hurt you, never to embarrass you. But when we are reproved, when God sends a correction, and these are days of correction, these are days of learning and growing, as Heather said. These are days where we kind of get some of these things under our belt. How do we respond? What do we say? When someone comes to you or wants to meet with you and say, listen, here's an area of your life where I just noticed that it may not be right with God, or you may be dealing with some issues, and I think you should have some correction decision. Wait, correct who? Wait. Don't you know that I read the Word? Don't you know where I came from? Don't you know that God speaks to me? Ho. No one asks you to defend yourself. No one asks you to give a whole treatise on how you are. See, how do we respond? Well, you're the one with the problem. Pastor Tim comes to you and says, listen, there's an area of correction I see. I've been praying about it. I want to bring to your life. And this is the area, blah, blah, blah. And what's your response? Pastor Tim, oh, you missed it. No, I'm sorry, Pastor Tim. No one's perfect, so you might have missed it. No, what do we say when God sends somebody? Fellow student, come to say, listen, God's been putting you on my heart. And I see one thing in you that says, that response you gave last night in that situation, it looked like there was bitterness in your heart. You were a little angry about that. I wasn't angry. I was just intense. You know me, I'm an intense type of person. No, you were angry. And what do you say when God uses even some of our peers to come and say, hey, wait a minute, that answer you gave last night, that was a little angry. Maybe you need to, see what's in your heart about that. Thank you. Oh, I'm gonna really look and see and what's there. Thank you so much for thinking of me that way and being honest with me, What do we say when we prove Habakkuk wrote? What do I say? He says, I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna look forward to it. I'm gonna kind of keep aware. What is God doing in me? What is God saying to me in these days? And I pray that in this season of my life, in this season of my time, God, what are you saying to me, God? And he's speaking clearly. We're going to share it with our congregation in January. He's speaking some things to me personally, and he's speaking some things to me as a pastor. And I want to watch for that. God, what are you saying to me? At this time in my life, God, thank you for speaking to me 2 years ago and last year. Thank you, Lord. It's my foundation of faith. I thank you for what you're going to say to me, God, tomorrow and next week and the week after. But right now, what are you saying to me today, God? What are you trying to get your finger on in my life, God? Are you trying to correct something in me, God? Maybe I am snippy, God. Maybe I do have some pride in me, God. Maybe I'm not open to just being as open as you want me to be, God. Or maybe I am bringing some things in the world. I want to bring them here, God. Maybe I do need some correction, God. So, God, set a watch. Let me hear what God is saying to me through the Word, through people who He sent in my path. See, I don't believe in coincidences with God. I believe that He had a divine plan for each and every one of us. And I believe also that the things in our life are worked out by God. And I don't take anything for just happenstance. God, if this person is talking to me, God, I'm going to listen. And if I disagree, if it's way out the window, because sometimes people come to me as a pastor, and whether it's new people in a church or some people I know, and sometimes they come to me, sometimes with kind of weird, crazy things. I mean, like you go, whoa, whoa. I'll listen. I'm not going to dismiss it. I'll listen. I'm going to pray about that, and I'm going to get back to you. And God has taught me to do that. In the beginning, I didn't do that. I think I shared with you, when I was first a pastor, I said, God, only the people that are going to let speak into my life are going to be other pastors. And I was wrong. Sometimes God used a person who just walked through the door, had no idea who they were, and they walked through the door and had a word for me of correction. And I received it because it was right on. So I've learned to be open. I weigh it out according to the Word of God. I always measure up to the Word of God. I always measure up to what God is doing in my heart. But I have to listen to that, see? Because God could use anybody to correct us. Anybody. And maybe even today, God is trying to open your heart to say, wait a minute, you haven't been very good at receiving correction. You've been defending yourself. You've been pointing a finger at other people. You've been not open to it. And therefore, you're not learning what you need to learn. You're resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really trying to, in these days, change you, grow you, put great things inside you, because He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you now. He's got a plan for you when you graduate. So what's He trying to do now? Part of the learning process is, how well do I receive correction? How well am I open to the Holy Ghost? How well am I open to other people who correct me? That's what Habakkuk says. What will I say when I'm reproved? When God comes to me with a word through whoever, what's going to be my response? And sometimes, what's been your response in the past? How open have we been with God? How open have we been with the Holy Spirit? Have we allowed God to really speak and change us? Because you know what? We all need correction. We all need changing. My Lord. One time I was speaking with somebody, and I was a little abrupt with them. It was just sometimes one of those busy days where just a million things are popping off, and it was abrupt with somebody. And someone from the congregation came and says, Pastor, you were a little abrupt with that person. And I just had to stop for a second, and yeah, you know what? You're right. I know the reason for it, but there was no excuse for it. See, there'll be reasons for a lot of things what we do, but there'll never be an excuse for it. There'll never be an excuse to be ungodly. There'll never be an excuse to be fleshly and act in situations like that. What will I do when I am reproved? Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. Whom he loves, he chastens. Listen to that. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't turn from it. Don't wish it was different. And faint not. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Okay? When thou art rebuked by who? By him. See, when God uses other people, He's the one rebuking. He's the one correcting. He'll use the word of God. He'll use other people. But you got to understand something. God loves you. And he'll use other people to speak into your life. How well can other people speak into your life? How well can your fellow classmates speak into your life? Because sometimes they know you pretty good. Girls and guys, sometimes they know you fairly well. They live with you. They see you. They see you up. They see you down. They see you in between. And sometimes God will use them, especially after a time of prayer and fasting. How well do we receive that? And that's what we're speaking about today. No hard hearts. No stiff necks. I remember we read the account where Stephen was speaking to the Sanhedrin right before they stoned him. And he was giving the history about Moses and about Israel's people. And he looked at them as he was speaking, and they had to be like looking at him with disdain and weren't listening. And so what does he do? He goes right for the jugular. You stiff neck and uncircumcised of heart, you never listen. That's not the way to win friends. That's not the way to kind of get ahead in an organization. He's speaking about Moses did this and God did this and blah, blah, blah. And it's wonderful. And they were just like, are you done yet, Stephen? You done yet? They weren't listening. And he hit the nail right on the head. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to do something in your heart. And you got a stiff neck. You're not even listening. You're not even listening to what God is trying to say to you. And they got more mad and they stoned him. And we know that story. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. In other words, you got a hard heart. Oh, I look at people in the Bible who have that hard heart. Remember Saul? Man, go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. This guy started out so good. 1 Samuel 13. He started out good. Remember the Lord said he made him a new man, put a new spirit in him? Saul, king of Israel at the time. Proverbs 29:1 says, he was often reproved and hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See, that scares me. He who is stubborn, hardens his neck, and doesn't receive reproof, suddenly shall be destroyed and without remedy. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, remember that story? Look, go to right verse 8. Let me read it, then we'll explain it. 1 Samuel chapter 13, right in verse 8. And he tarried 7 days, Samuel the prophet, according to the time set that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offerings. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And here's a story where Samuel told Saul, says, go wait for me about 7 days. I'll be there. Just hang on. Don't do anything. Don't wait. Be still. Hold on. Don't do anything. I'll be there. We just read the story. Here's Saul. He's told to wait, and he gets his little sundial watch on. He's looking at the shadows over there, and he's looking, you know, he's not come yet. So he figures, well, wait a minute. People are starting to leave me. They're starting to walk out of the camp, and the Philistine army is gathering over there, and the conditions presented something that somebody should do something. See, the conditions were starting to raise now that somebody's got to do something. Okay, so what he did was he said, listen, the army was being built up, people are leaving me, I didn't pray yet, make an offering, so I decided to do all this, and as soon as he does what he should never have done, right at that moment, here comes Samuel around the corner. And he says, well, Saul, what did you do? I told you to sit. I told you to stop. I told you to wait upon the Lord. And what does Saul start to do? He starts to defend himself. Well, Samuel, and I love what he says, I really had to force myself to do this, you know. I really wanted to wait, you know. But I kind of really forced myself to sin. I forced myself to do this. I mean, this guy was a game player. This guy was even faking it with himself. And here he was, he's saying, well, the army was gathering and the people, blah, blah, blah. He started to defend himself. See, watch out. You don't have to defend yourself. When God tells you to do something and you sin and somehow the conditions you fall prey to the conditions. You fall prey to the urgency of the moment. You fall prey to what you think it should be done and ignoring the command of God. You don't have to defend yourself when the rebuke comes. And look what Samuel said. Saul, you did foolishly, man. You should have waited. You should have trusted God on that thing. You don't have to take matters into your own hand. And I love that. You did foolishly. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord had to make him another man because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You didn't listen. See, sometimes we become selectively deaf. We listen to what we want to listen to. We listen and we process it sometimes according to what we think is right. What we think should happen. What we think should, rather than God, if you said to sit, I'm sitting, God. And I'm not moving, God, until you do it, God. Why? And then when that correction comes, don't defend yourself. Whatever happened to Samuel, you're right, I blew it. I'm so sorry. I got caught up in a moment. I got caught up in me. I wanted to do this. I thought we should do this. But you know what, Samuel? You're right. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And I really got to learn that lesson before I go on being this king stuff. Man, if Saul would have did that, I think his future would have been so different. If he had an open heart to receive that rebuke, receive that correction, I think his life would have been different. I think his heart would have been different. And sometimes when that rebuke comes to you, how do you receive that? You know, when you bottom line, when you know that was right, do we say, hey, listen, you know what? You're right. I'm so sorry. I'm still growing, and that's one of these lessons that, you know what, I haven't learned yet. Are there lessons that we all haven't learned yet? Yeah. Yeah. Not me, because I know everything. But you guys, I mean, that, you know, you guys have to learn all that stuff. No, I'm learning lessons every day. Every day learning lessons. Every day growing. Every day allowing God to correct and reestablish and pick up and brush off and go on again. Every day. Big things, little things. But Saul started with, and Saul didn't learn the lesson. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Go to the right a little bit. He didn't learn the lesson even after that. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 8. 1 Samuel 15:8. Now he got another command by Samuel. Go against the Amalekites and get the king Agag and kill everybody. Kill sheep, people. Because they were such a sinful people. If there had been any remnants of sin, it would have infected the whole place of Israel. And what did he say to Saul again? Listen, when you fight these guys, kill the king, kill everybody, wipe them out. No encroachment of sin. We got to wipe this thing out. We got to wipe sin out because if we keep little threads of it, it's going to affect you like a cancer. See, that's why God says be separate, okay? Because if we have these little strongholds, we have these little connections to our past or to our sin, God says that thing will eventually take you over. So he says, Troy, get it out. Pulverize it. That's why the word, when Josiah, just as an offering, when Josiah destroyed the altars of idolatry, the word of God says, don't just destroy it, pulverize it. See, because when you destroy something, there's some pieces left that you could resurrect. But when you pulverize something, you ground it to powder, and there's no chance of it coming back. Pulverize your sin. Pulverize your flesh. Pulverize those old things that would pull you back, see. Don't just destroy it and have the splinters left, because you could resurrect that. Let there be no chance of resurrection. Burn that bridge. Absolutely burn that bridge. Pulverize that bridge. So there's no way of going back to who we used to be and what we used to be. So here's Samuel. He's got the word, you know, to kill everything. And look at his response in verse 8, 1 Samuel 15. Right in verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Wait a minute, didn't you learn the lesson? What are you doing? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Oh, man, you shouldn't have did that. And the best of the sheep, told you not to do that. And of the oxen, you should have killed them. And of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not, look at that, and would not, whoa, pride, self, and he would not. Let's get in the face of God and say, God, you know what, I know better, God. I got plans for these things, God. I know better than you, God. Every time he goes against God's word, you're saying to him, God, I know more than you. I know better than you, God. I got a plan for these things. I could use them in my life. And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed. Sure, they destroyed all the garbage. They kept the good stuff. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Here comes Samuel again. Look at verse 11. And it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, that God said, for he's turned back from following me. Oh, Jesus. See, when you don't receive that correction, when you don't receive that reproof, when you go on with that pride, you turn back from following God. He's not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Oh, my Lord, how Samuel loved Saul. He loved him. And when he did such a grievous sin by not adhering to the word of God, he cried all night for him. See, those are the people that are going to correct you, and those who cry for you, those who intervene and intercede for you, those even amongst our midst right now, those here and even in leadership at Mount Zion, who mourn and cry for you when they see you, when they see people just going against the word of God and forming self. Look at 13. So how did Saul respond to this? And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, now look at this guy, he's so out of touch. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord. Yeah. No, you didn't. Man, don't give me that. Here comes Samuel, and Saul knows that he blew it. He should have obeyed him. Here comes Saul and Samuel, and Saul runs up to meet him. Hey, Saul, blessed be the king. I did everything I was supposed to do. Now, Samuel sees Agag over there and the sheep and the oxen. He looks, and what he's saying doesn't match up with what he's doing. What he said has no bearings to the reality of what he just did. He's in a fantasy world, this guy saw. And look what he says, verse 13. He says, I did that. And verse 19, Samuel rebukes him. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil? In other words, you kept the spoil, and you did evil in the sight of the Lord. See, here's a confrontation of Samuel. And again, what is Saul's response? Look at verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have done the way which the Lord has sent me. And I have brought King Agag, the king of Amalek, but I destroyed everyone else. You know, that partial obedience, you know. And look at verse 21. But the people took of the spoil. Look, he's blaming others. Oh, man. Those people, they took the spoil. They took this. They took the sheep, the oxen. Those things which should have been destroyed, the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Oh, my Lord. He's so blind. He was so blind to not receiving correction. Listen to that. If you go on and not receive correction from God and think you're doing right, even in the face of disobedience, there's a blindness that comes upon you. There's a blindness to pride. There's a blindness to self-focus. There's a blindness to flesh. And after a while, you can't see. And I know people like that, that you could show them an 8x10 glossy of them and their sin, and they go, that's not me. And they won't receive it. Why? They've gotten so blind by their pride, by their self, by their sin, and they can't see anymore. Saul, it was obvious. Agag was standing there, and he had a direct order to kill him. I obeyed the Lord God. My people pray against the blindness. That comes from self, that comes from pride, that comes from not allowing God to correct you. Thinking that you could do anything and be right before the Lord because he hasn't struck you dead yet and think it's okay. No. And God will send a judicial blindness. He will send, if you continue in that path, he'll down the road, will continue to send that blindness where you can't see nothing anymore. You're so blind to yourself. You're so blind to God's word. You're so blind to your own heart. And I've known so many people like that. And you can't reach them. And I've stopped counseling those people. I pray for them. Because the move of God is the only thing that's going to open up their eyes. They're not open to counsel. Not open to interceding. Not open to those things. God, you have to open their eyes. You have to do that. And I pray, God, do that. Whatever you have to do to break them, to open their eyes, let them see God. Whatever you got to do, even if you got to send those Holy Ghost miserables upon them, God, or even if things have to get darker and worse, God, then God, you do it to save their soul. You do it, God, to open their eyes that they could receive that correction, God. But my people, pray, God, never let me not see, God. God, I give you rain, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my eyes to my own sin, my own lack of correction, if I don't receive reproof, God. Open my eyes that I must see, God. Because I love you more than I want to hold on to the things of me, Lord God. Hold on. Oh, and just as a comparison, look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. Well, you don't have to turn there for lack of time. Don't turn there. But one day David sinned. Remember David, King David? He sinned. He sinned terribly with Bathsheba, killed her husband, Uriah. And one day I think from according to what I could read in the Word of God, there was about a 2-year period where he didn't repent of that sin. There was about a year or 2-year period where he went on being king, knowing what he just did with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. And he went on about a year or two, still praising in the temple, still serving God, still on the throne room, still in his sin, until one day God sent this prophet Nathan. And I believe he got that skinny, bony figure went in David's face. And after he told the story about how a man stole somebody's sheep, he says, David, you're that man. You're the man, David. You're the one who's in sin. And what was David's response when he was confronted with his sin? Oh, Nathan, get out of here. You're just an old guy. You don't know what you're talking about. Or you don't understand the conditions back then, why I had to do what I did. No, he didn't do any of that. Like Saul did. What did he do? Oh, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I blew it. I sinned. I have sinned. And that was the thing. I have sinned. That conviction of sin. Oh, you know that psalm. Turn to Psalm 51. You know this psalm. You should know this psalm. That's when he wrote Psalm 51. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me, oh my God. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly and wash my sin and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. God, you're right, I sinned. You sent rebuke, God, and I receive it because my sin is ever before me. Oh, look at verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And look all the things he says. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in even parts. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And look at David's response. David's response was, oh, Lord, change my heart. Oh, Lord, let me receive this word that just came to me about my sin, God. Oh, let it break me, God. Let it break me of myself, my disguise, my faking it for 2 years, God. Let it break me. David went on his face and repented. That's why he had a heart after God. Because when confronted with sin, he owned up to it. My people, you got to own it. You have to own your own correction. You have to own your rebuke. You have to own your sin. You have to own what you do sometimes and not make excuses for it. Not defend it, not play games with it. But say, God, you're right. I did it, God. I'm so sorry, Lord God. And God, I want to own up to it, God. I want to receive the correction. I want to receive the rebuke. Because I want to go on in you, God. I don't want to live a blinded life. I don't want to be taken out of service for you, God. I don't want to live a casual, just comfortable life, God. I'm going on with you. If I got to live on the edge, I don't want to live on the edge of your love, Lord Jesus. But Father, correct me, reprove me, God. Keep me on that narrow way, Lord Jesus. Because I love you. And I don't want anything to get in the way of the love relationship that we have. When Peter had his denial, you have to turn there. He had denied Christ. Remember that? He denied Christ. And while he thought about this thing, the Word of God said he wept and he repented. He wept. What did he weep about? Man, when that correction came to Peter about his denial of Christ, what did he weep about? He wept that he denied Christ. Sometimes do we deny Christ? Oh, maybe not verbally, maybe not in confrontation, but in our heart. Do we deny him getting to our heart through correction, through rebuke? Sometimes we say, no, Jesus, I'll take it from here. Oh, Jesus, fill my heart, but I'll give you up to here. The rest of the stuff is mine, God. I don't want you to come that close sometimes. See, I think sometimes Peter thought about how good Jesus was and how compassionate he was with him. I think Peter thought about the position of trust that God gave him that he blew because he would not receive correction. I think Peter sometimes knew that he had a special relationship with Christ. And I think that he recalled all his false promises he gave Jesus. God, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. Man, he thought about all those things. I think he dwelled on what he did and what he said, and he had to repent as the Holy Spirit brought correction. He had to repent for resisting the Holy Spirit, backsliding, wandering heart in what we think and say and do, neglecting others and not bringing glory to his name. My people, these are days of grace. I'm going to close now. And if so, if could you come up and just play, just pray today, okay? And these are days of grace. It's not judgment right now. These are days where God, through his grace, is reaching us. And again, it may not be a joyous time as we had in maybe the last 2 times I've been here, but I believe this is word that if you just let it, it would change you. It would just open up your heart to the control of the Holy Spirit. It would open up who you are to God's plans for your life. And you know God wants to forgive you. You know that he loves you so much. And when he was on that cross, and we always have to go back to the cross. When he was on that cross, what are those words that he said? And when they were actually nailing him and holding him onto that cross, and some mocked him and some didn't believe. What were those words that so clearly came from that cross? Father, forgive them. Look at his heart. Dying on the cross for me and you. Look at his heart. Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. Look at that heart of forgiveness that comes from Jesus to us. When we blow it, when we sin. Father, forgive them. See, you could always go to that kind of heart with correction and with reproof. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me for having a hard heart. Forgive me, Lord, for not letting you in. Forgive me for defending myself, blaming others, pointing fingers, God. All those things, God. Forgive me for having a stubborn heart sometimes, God, and not receiving what you're trying to do in me, God. Especially not receiving correction. Forgive me, God. Oh, forgive me so much, Lord. And I love those words in Joel where he speaks. He says, and I will restore to you those years that the locust had eaten, that cankerworm and caterpillar, the palmer worm, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, my people, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. He said that twice. And I love that psalm in verse 51, as we just read. Just listen. You have to turn there. But just listen for a second. Those words of David. I'm just going to read a few of them. Wash me, Lord, thoroughly from my sin and iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, Lord. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before you, God. And then he writes, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, Lord, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins, God. Hide them, God. And blot out all my iniquities. God, create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me, God. Restore me, God. Restore the joy of my salvation. And uphold me. Hold me up with your spirit, Lord God. See, the reason why he wants you to receive correction and rebuke is he wants some of you maybe to stop drifting away and going your own way. He wants you to get you back on that narrow road. My people, it's so narrow. And maybe sometimes we got a foot off or whatever on that wide road. He says, no. He wants to correct us. Why? To get us back on track. Get us back on that path that we need to walk, that special path ordained by God for your life. And it is a narrow path. Absolutely. But it's a good path. It's a beautiful path that leads right to Christ. See, when he corrects us, that means he can give us revelation of who he is. And I don't know about you, but I want to know him more. I want such revelations of Christ. I want such an encounter with Christ every day. So God, correct me, God. Rebuke me if I'm getting off, God. Change my heart. I want more of you. And I want nothing to get in the way of that, Lord Jesus. God, never stop me from serving others, God. See, when he can correct you and rebuke you, you'll be more effective when you serve people. Oh, you'll see with such beautiful eyes of his love. You'll see those things. You'll keep on that track, and he will not allow your faith to be shipwrecked. He'll keep that ship of faith on course as he makes those in-course corrections in your life. As the wind blows this way, he'll have you steer this way. He'll keep you on track because he loves you, and he wants to use your life to touch somebody else. So today our word is so clear, and again, I just believe it's a word that we have to receive and know. God, keep my heart open and pliable to you. God, when you want to send correction, give me a heart that says, yes, Lord. Give me a heart that doesn't fight back, defend myself, barter with you, and spit nickels and do all these things, Holy Ghost. Let me just simply say, yes, Lord, because I trust my life is in your hands. And I trust you got me here to Mount Zion, God. So, Father, use the teachers and pastors and everyone here, God. Use my fellow students, God. Get rid of me, Lord Jesus. My flesh, myself, my defense, my pride, my ego, God. To even establish my own self, God. Get rid of all that. And, Father, yes, right now, give me such an open heart that when you send correction in my life, I don't care what you use, God. I don't care who you is, God. Let me be so open to you, so dead to myself, so alive to a life of faith in you, God, that, Father, you could have your way with me. Whatever direction, God, send correction. Keep me on that road, God. Keep my eyes fixed upon you, God. And don't let me sway. Don't let me go different directions, God. See, because all it takes is for you to step out of the narrow path, just a little hair. And if you stay on that path, in the years to come, you'll be so far from God. And it all started with that little deviation. God, no deviations of faith, obedience, God, no. Today, God, touch my heart. Touch my heart. And I want to pray that with you today. And like we normally do, is even as I feel led to now, I want to have that altar call, so to speak, that if this message that touched you says, Lord God, you know what, maybe I have been a little hard. Maybe I haven't kind of gone my way. Maybe I've been thinking too much of what I want, what I desire. And I've not been open to your correction. I've not been open to you maybe redirecting my course of my life, God. I've had way too much of me, God. Today I ask you, Lord Jesus, open up my heart. Open up my mind, Lord Jesus. Let me be so soft. Let me be such clay today, God. Such clay, God. Such openness, that if you want to send correction, God, let my only words be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I trust you that you will do that, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Send whomever, however, whenever, God. And get rid of me, God. And make me such moldable clay today, God, that I'll receive every correction you want to give me in my life, God. Because I do want to be used of you. But even more than that, I just want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you than ever before. If that is your desire, and something in this word has touched you, I do want you to get out of your seat and just come forward. And I want to pray specifically for you today. Only if that's you. If it's not you, don't have to come up, because everyone's come up. Only come up if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Do not come up if it is not for you. But only if the Holy Ghost is touching something in your heart. Then you come forward. And we'll just close and we'll just pray this and then we'll go to lunch. It's just a few moments of just being in. Let him speak to you right now as we continue to pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, renew that right spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come before you today. And Lord God, we know we're imperfect, God. We know it, God. But Father, I thank you that because of your love, Lord Jesus, Father, we're not going to despise any chastening, Lord Jesus. We know, God, that you're here because you love us, God. And so, Father, we ask you right now, Holy Spirit, I want you to do surgery right now, Holy Spirit. Father, right now, take out those parts in our heart, God, as you create that new heart in us and shape us right now, God. Father, yes, right now that you take out pride and self, God, and Father, take out self-defense, God. Take out self-preservation, Lord Jesus. Oh, take out, Lord God, any blindness that may be in our heart, God, that we may not see, God, the need for correction and reproof, God. Father, take it out right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give it to you, God. Every self-defense, every ounce of pride, Lord God, Holy Spirit, help us with that, because I know it's hard sometimes, God. Help us to take out establishment of self, God. To prove self or establish self and to make people know anything about self that we know this and we know that. God, just take all that out, God. And Father, mold our hearts right now, Lord Jesus. And Father, give us a heart just like David, that when a reproof comes, when a correction comes, and it surely will, Lord God, because we all need it. But Father, when it comes to me, when it comes to me, God, oh Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, let me say yes to you. Let me learn the lessons of correction, of reproof, God. Let me not go on in the past I've been, God. If you need to correct me, God, let me not give a stubborn answer back, God. Let me not continue to walk on my own ways, God. Apprehend my heart. Stop me, Holy Spirit. Stop me, Holy Spirit. Don't let me go on, God. And I know by your love you will stop me, God, and apprehend me, God, and bring me back to the cross, God. Bring me back to that simple adoration of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, today, God, correct me, God. If I'm going off, show me, God. And Father, I give you reign to send whoever, whenever, God. Doesn't matter, God. As long as it's you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you that keep me on that right path, that narrow path, God. Oh, Father, thank you that you wash me and cleanse me today too, God. And as you do, God, let there be no drifting in my life away from your word. Let there be great revelations of you, God, of who you are in your word, God. Oh, Father, let me be of great service to others, Lord Jesus. Father, keep me on that narrow path, God. Build my faith, God. Let it not be shipwrecked, God, but keep my course charted, God. Charted, God, in the same direction that you are, Lord God. And Father, today, God, we thank you now. Thank you for such love that corrects us. Thank you for such love, God, that takes us out of the way and has your way in our life, God. And Father, thank you for the fruit. Thank you for the joy, God. David prayed, God, now give me back the joy of my salvation. God, give me back the joy of knowing that I'm right with you, God. The joy of knowing that my life is in your hands, God. The joy of knowing, God, I'm pliable clay in your hands, God. I don't have to be anything, do anything, except a child of God. Father, thank you today that that spirit of correction and reproof is in my heart, God. Change me, Lord Jesus. Keep me on that path, God. And Father, thank you that every moment I'm on that narrow path, I am never out of your hands. I am never out of your hands. Thank you, Jesus, for peace and joy that comes from being corrected, God. Thank you, Jesus, for such fruit that you will work in my life because of such love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for a new beginning. And thank you for such steadfast love. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us, God. You're so good to us. Thank you, Father, for such peace. And just let that peace fill you right now. Regardless of what you came up here for, let that peace fill you right now. Such peace. Oh, such strength. Such beauty of his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for such love today. Amen.